CMO Roundtable,
the podcast where we talk to CMOs and marketing professionals to find out what's working, what isn't, and how you can leverage their expertise to improve your marketing and conversions. Now, let's welcome our host, number one best-selling author and co-founder of Conversion Fanatics, Justin Christensen.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is your host, Justin Christensen of the CMO Roundtable. And with us, as always, we have a fantastic guest. Our guest today is a businessman, entrepreneur, author, husband, and father. And he's been married for over 20 years to his wife, Debbie. And they have four children, Sophia, Vinny, Jacob, and Elizabeth. He left a successful law practice as a corporate and tax attorney in 2007 to drive his entrepreneurial passion. After a few successful businesses in the digital space, he discovered a much needed service for business owners, and that led him to found what is known as Fully Accountable, an accounting solution called Your Back Office that provides owners and accounting professionals the tools to excel at accounting, human resources, and legal. So he's actually somebody that I turn to on a regular basis for advice in my marketing and growing my business, and for good reason. We're happy to have him on the show. Vinny Fisher, how are you doing, my friend?
Justin, thanks, buddy. That wonderful introduction. Gosh, I should have you read that to my wife more often.
Yeah, maybe.
Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for being on the show. Well, give us a little 30-second rundown on what got you to where you are now. Why'd you leave corporate law to kind of go, and then where did you kind of end up, or how did you end up where you are now?
You know, I think when you look at a definition of kind of the typical entrepreneur, and I don't know what that looks like typicality wise, but if you were to like look that up, I actually think that I embody a lot of the traits of what one is. And so even in my law practice, I owned my law firm, and I joined two sage lawyers, and over time I ended up owning the practice. And I think it just speaks to volumes of who I am as the type of, you know, I'm either going to be in the front of the room at someone else's room, or I'm going to be in front of the room because it's my room. In either case, I'm going to serve that role well. And so I've always gravitated towards taking the most risk and hoping for the most reward. So just the nature, I think, of the heartbeat of I am. I left the law practice. It's an extremely hard way to make a living. I'm wonderfully proud to still be an active lawyer today. You just can't really retain my services. You can't buy me. But if you're smart enough, like one of my business friends, you back your way into asking all those things all the time. So I love the law. It's the mistress to our marriage, though. So because I have such a heavy passion load, I would have my problem plus the 20 or 30 active ones I was working on. So it became an amazingly taxing way for me to have a profession. And so I found that I really enjoyed other aspects of business more than providing that professional service.
That makes a lot of sense. And we work with some attorneys too, so I can definitely see it. I mean, it's not really worth the $300-$500 an hour. And there's a reason why you guys command that much if you were to be bought.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is at the end of my, so to speak, hourly practice career, I was getting performance-based engagements. I was closing corporate deals and making money on the spread. So I was making a great living. Like it was something probably different than that, quite honestly. And it's something I hope we dive a little more into today and another day, whatever we do. I did not feel like I was moving the needle in a bigger way. And for me, that's more that I've learned to look back and realize that's more important to me than the $450 an hour I was making, or the, you know, the deal basis I was making. I just didn't feel like I was making a big enough difference. And so I jumped out into the entrepreneurial world. I opened up a mental retardation company. We had a lot of fun there, sold it. And then I jumped into the internet space. And, you know, I had a good run with a former partner of mine, Mark Jenny. We had a couple good properties together, you know, and with and without him, I put
I made a lot of money off one of your particular offers.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. But I actually felt finally like I was moving the needle. Even though some of that stuff was work from home and other was digital marketing, you know, we were reinventing at that time technology that didn't exist. And so we had a lot of fun. Things we could talk about from 07 and 08 are hilarious now, because you know, you just put a plug in to things we couldn't do back then. And so different times. And so, you know, the progress of moving forward to where we are now is, you know, I'm a marketer first and foremost. And that's probably one of the reasons I'm on your show.
Yeah, that's probably a good reason why you're on the show. Plus, I respect the hell out of you and your advice. So expand on that moving the needle a little bit. Since you kind of touched on it, let's just go right into that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I hear people use things like be passionate. You know, you got to be passionate about what you do. You know, I think you can develop a passion. Mm-hmm. I think as I've seen now, looking back and the way I'm looking at things, am I really helping to solve a problem for other people? You know, am I really doing something that ultimately, if I stop doing it, things are going to be less better, or things aren't going to move as good for other people? And that's kind of my standard now. I love making money. Don't get me wrong. But my faith's important to me. And so I think of like a quote that says, you know, wealth has wings on it. It can fly in either direction. And so you gotta be, so I've kind of, you know, I'm do different math now. People are like, why do you have this really hard, super boring company that like just doesn't look like the stuff you did when you scaled? And the answer is because I have a bunch of passion ambassadors, super grateful that we are fixing their businesses and we are offering a ton of value. And when I'm said and done, I think the community is going to reward us with an immensely valuable project that's going to turn into something much bigger than I ever anticipated.
That's awesome. Is there anything that keeps you up at night?
Yeah, I'm burdened about multiple things. I think the thing I'm burdened the most about is truth. You know, without getting very spiritual about that answer, mm-hmm. I'm burdened about making sure that that I literally live and I'm determined to be the better version of what I'm supposed to be for everybody else, and kind of throw off my old self and the one who would say things to anybody just to get a deal, or the person who was quick to sell something regardless of if it had value or not. I'm burdened with not repeating those mistakes over and over. I'm burdened with, you know, I feel like I'm the only one who goes at the speed that I go at, and nothing goes fast enough for me.
I live in that world.
Oh man, I wake up burdened on that. But the thing I'm the most burdened about right now, Justin, is I'm going through this idea of being content. How do I be present in what I'm doing right now and not always wishing to something that what looks like the 18-month ahead version of what I'm working on? And that's kind of where I am in my season of life right now. I'm very much burdened with, you know, that the world uses content as a negative word. When I say it's probably the secret to being able to really make something flourish.
Awesome. Yeah. Patience is something that I definitely work on.
Because if it's valuable, back to where you asked, if something's valuable, then speed isn't the answer.
Yeah.
Consistency, replication, improvement, not speed. And us entrepreneurs, we lie to ourselves and we let others lie to us. Speed, speed, speed. Scale, scale, scale. Well, how do you build something right now that's valuable so that the next version of it is more valuable? And I tell you, boy, man, have I burned a few businesses having the wrong mindset on that one.
Awesome. So, I mean, you've got this amazing platform. We've got a couple of clients on your platform now. Yeah. You know, I get the emails from Fully Accountable and that your checks on the way, all of that stuff. But I've heard you talk about this in private or in a kind of a smaller group setting. Is what's your take on companies focusing on their metrics in a way that it needs to be accounting focused?
Yeah. So, you know, it's all math, right? Mm-hmm. If you could take the fun of sales and marketing and actually turn back on the 7th and 8th grade brain of math. And I suck at math and I own a math company. If you can have an enjoyment factor of really allowing the numbers to tell you the truth, the problem with us sales and marketers is that sometimes we don't want to hear the truth because our baby is prettier than we expect it or think it to be. And our expectations don't line up with what our company's telling us. But man, I think the reason why people avoid it is because they're afraid of it. And I don't mean like they're afraid of what it's going to tell you. You know, we hand out these really archaic documents and we expect you and I as leaders to know how to read them. And that causes us to avoid the fun part of math. And then we'll get excited about dashboards or pretty little graphs that don't tie back to the math. And so what you say is, if we need the accounting department to be real time with the marketing department, and if we can make that a math exercise and really allow what the big data and all these fun terms that people are using out there to really dictate our spend, man, it just is a game changer. And I'll tell you, you could go down the roster of clients on our list who are having fun marketing again because they finally understand what the actual bucket they have to market with, as opposed to guess marketing or let's solve for a different X. And that's the big part. And man, like I said to you earlier, I have wasted a lot of revenue until I finally figured out that marketing should be more of a math project than it should be a kind of a soft science.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm in the numbers game too. So everything we do is a numbers game.
Yeah. And so we love agencies. And so the reason we love agencies is this whole, what have you done for me lately? You build a funnel, you do this thing, and the client's like, okay, that's great. It's working. Now what magic are you going to produce? They're expecting you to be Jesus, their savior.
Yeah.
The reality is that when we work with agencies, and we have a handful of them, when we help their clients get closer to the numbers, it takes the pressure off of having to be the savior.
Yeah. I mean, that makes total sense because the numbers really don't lie.
if you're willing to look at them, you know, people can be told the truth, but you don't want to listen to it. And so as an owner, I didn't want to hear it. I would just say things like, well, there's more money in the bank this month than there was last. Or, I know what I can do. And then inside my mind, I was always devoid of some of the truth of what the numbers said. So I had this internal struggle of like, how many more payrolls can I have? If everything stops tomorrow, what? And those are all these like doubt things in your head that absolutely have no basis in truth. And so when you have things presented to you and you can make decisions, what I've learned is that the creative people like me who love sales and marketing, you get more creative because the numbers create freedom for you, not put you in a restrictive box.
So in terms of numbers focused marketing, what kind of skills do you think that people should have?
You know, I mean, I like to start it out as real basic. You know, not every company should be our client, but every company should have a math basis attitude to the marketing department. And you could start it out as simple as cocktail napkin math. How many leads do I plan to have? How much does it cost? How much do I spend to acquire it? I don't think enough businesses start out with a profit margin in mind. And I think if you actually, we call it solving for X around here. And we have a new book coming out, should be launched very soon. In that we describe, our book's called False Profits. You know, nice. The top line doesn't pay you. And in there, the whole premise is our company. It's about a profit margin. Like, what do you state as your margin? And how do you measure the rest of your business? And so I would say in a very basic sense, if the owner of a business could start there and think like that, then what I would do is go for $12 an hour or whatever, go to my local college, and inside the marketing departments of these colleges today are kids that are learning data, analysis, all this stuff, and go find someone who is a little bit more on the data analysis side of it. If you don't want to outsource it and you want it internal, you know, that's the way I would go. Or I would do it myself. The reason we opened our business is we think it's more expensive to make a commitment to do that internal. And I think I told you this last time we were at dinner, like any agency should say to a company, come out, hire us, and tell everybody you'd like to have an internal. And then pay us to do the job and equip the person internally to do it so that you can fire us. We graduate people back internally all the time. Our goal is not to have every company. Our goal is to have every company double in size because they're running by math.
Yeah, math. I'm just thinking, I'm brainstorming ideas for the topic of this and the actual overall title of this episode in my head and running through the math things, because math necessarily isn't sexy until you make it so.
I used to play around with like titles for this as a book I want to write. I'm like, marketing by metrics, math in the marketing department. All of that just sounds super boring because nobody wants that. But literally our False Profits book, everyone's excited about it because we're talking about profit margin. How does the owner actually get paid? And I think when you think holistically about your business like that, marketing department starts to look like another department. The problem with me is I believe gross revenue solves all problems. And that's just a false idol. It's a lie. And so the marketing department is just one department in the company. And what we've learned in Fully Accountable is, quite honestly, it's not even the one that probably provides long-term sustained value. For me, it's the one that's most likely to be disruptive. I hit home runs and I strike out all the time. And so, you know, the consistency and replication of our business is what where wins are. And we are our own client. We have to look at the math of a relationship. And if it doesn't work, then we have to find an elegant way out of that relationship. Think about when agencies get fired. Some of it's short-sighted, but you honestly, they're having a bad relationship to math, or they don't recognize the value that you bring to the organization. Right? I mean, it's a good, sobering, honest conversation to have. One of them could be as simple as they don't want to invest in their own growth. Two is they think you've told them enough and they can do it on their own. Or three is they don't have a direct correlation to the value produced based on the input being given. And so typically I find out after you push all through, it's that third issue that's really the issue. And the other two are just become the excuses.
Yeah, excuses. Nobody has those in marketing.
You got to blame something. When you're toilet bowl marketing, you got to blame somebody. And so when you're guessing and you're not letting, you know, real math and data tell you the truth, the problem with dashboards today, and I've got friends who own some great companies with dashboards, is they make assumptions that everything clears your bank account.
Yeah.
You know, and it's some dangerous stuff out there about that. And so I'm on a mission to change 100,000 small businesses to do that. And that's why we went out and built software, because I can't provide this service to everybody. But I want every business at a very basic level. That's why we give gifts away, and I want to give one to your community. You know, we'll do it whatever domain name you want, but fullyaccountable.com/ if you want it at Conversion Fanatics. Or you.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, cool. We'll give away what I consider what your answer to your original question is, what we would say are the basic metrics that every business should have. You know, you need financial reports. But at a core level, if you don't have any of that sophistication, you need basic metrics to make decisions on buying more customers. And if that's the case, we're going to give those to you. We'll also give you a link to our latest book that you can download and have a free link version. And we'll have additional resources in there, including, you know, some stuff in our software that we'll give away, because we love what you guys are doing, Justin. And we just really want to support as many small businesses. You know, the number two reason why businesses close is because of non-predictable cash flow, which means they run out of money because they don't have any margin to make mistakes. And if any business is like the ones I run, we make many more mistakes than we do not. And so we need margin in our business to overcome those mistakes.
Yeah, I screw up daily, or I at least try to.
Yeah, I'm going to make the Hall of Fame for strikeouts. That's what I think I'm going to make.
Awesome. So do you have any like big marketing wins that you've seen or been part of in the last year?
I think, you know, what's funny is it's interesting. I think social media, and I think, you know, we're using something called, and I think you've probably seen it, but it's a nice hack. You know, there's these services out there that let you kind of use your Facebook Messenger as a way to have real-time engagement with your consumers. And we're using a tool. There's a few of them, but we're using a thing called ManyChat.
Yeah, I've seen it.
We've seen a lift in engagement, not only on our stuff, but in our other clients, like a significant lift, 10, 15, and 20% lift by actually taking social engagement and continuing the dialogue and forcing it, because it's actually congruent with what someone's doing right there. And so I encourage everybody to go look at ways to have purposeful marketing engagement that brings your sales department and your marketing department closer. Because my big rub I've had for a while is companies are quick to spend marketing dollars for automation, and we're not quick to figure out some of these things that could enhance our organic activities, even if it costs a little bit of money, and probably give us a bigger needle mover than trying to get these automated campaigns live. And one of them is this thing we've done with ManyChat. And I've got a handful, but I just like that one a lot. And it's allowed us to take our Facebook community and be very engaged. And the other thing I think we're seeing really done very well is we're seeing businesses, including ours, once you establish a margin, you have a better opportunity of cutting off traffic channels you shouldn't be running. You know, I just spent some time with this really cool guy coming out with a book called, I haven't read it yet, so I'm not endorsing it, but I probably will. I like him, so the book I'm going to probably like, called Culture of Opportunity. And what he's talking about is this idea of like, what are the five successes in your business? What are they? Can you name five successes that have worked? And what have been the result of those? And his whole premise is, what's my success DNA? And I stopped for a second. I thought, how many times have I participated in a meeting where I've heard people say, oh yeah, that worked. And I'd say, why'd you stop doing it? Yeah, I don't know. I just started doing something else. And how many times have we said that out loud where we just tried something else and we stopped doing something that was working? And I think it's the classic entrepreneur move. Well, I can tell you 200.
It's an inside joke here in our company between Manish and I.
200 like, something companies later for Fully Accountable, we've noticed that everybody at the entrepreneur level goes and chases new things and forgot what they're successful at and do that. And so that's another big win that at least we're having the privilege to speak loud and clear in, is to not all traffic channels should be run. They're not all equal, and they're not all places where your audience are. And so I think there's this like brain fart going on. And I love you, Facebook, so don't be mad at me. But not every business should be directly selling on Facebook, right? Because it speaks to an audience, and there's people that are there. And so everyone's assumed they need to make Facebook work. Well, what if your audience isn't there? Why are you there?
Yeah. I mean, that's same thing for us. I mean, most of our audience isn't there.
Is that true?
Yeah. So we're just not spending, I mean, they're there, but they're not engaged with ads and things like that. So it's just, it's not been very cost effective at all for us.
So what we do is we take our like LinkedIn activity, things that really work for us, but then we start social engagement with them. And Facebook Messenger is a way to connect with them and talk with them. So that's where it's really cool to take advantage of Facebook, even though we're not marketing there. We can take advantage of have continuing a discussion with them. And that's actually really cool. So retargeting activities and that kind of stuff, even though it might not be a primary channel, it's a really cool secondary channel.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So are there any bigger lessons that you've learned in the last year?
Everything takes double the amount of time you believe it's going to take. Just times it by two. Anything you think you're going to do, you know, I just met a man who believes in timesing it by three, but I've learned that you got to times it by two. You think it's going to take 6 months, invest the next year. You think it's going to cost you 50 grand, it's going to cost you 100. You think it's going to take you, you know, 3 months to overhaul a marketing campaign, it's probably going to take you six. And so, I would really much, very much encourage everyone to start practicing doubling every assessment, time, money, and resources. And I think you're going to have a much better gauge on what you do. I think another big lesson that I've learned is that, you know, there has to be another version of yourself that you're comfortable with. All of my energy now is spent on top grading and acquiring the best people for my team. I spend most of my time on building our cult, and we say cult, C-U-L-T, capitalized, so culture. And I don't think enough you and I, the leaders of our team, continue to cast vision and mission. My own team gets lost within a month. And once a month, the old guy is allowed to show up to the corporate meeting and recast vision. And I've literally removed myself from operational detail, and I'm on that wall on a regular basis.
That sounds very familiar. And I like that you're in that direction too. So that'll continue us down that path for sure. So you mentioned one resource that you didn't quite endorse yet as far as a book, but are there any other books that really jump out besides your own, which we'll have links to in the...
Just to be awesome and arrogant, we can name mine, but we won't.
I will.
Yeah, but it's okay. Don't worry.
Investment, a better you, and the CEO mindset, how to break through to the next level.
I tell you, man, I think, and my editor just told me the one we're about to relaunch any day now, False Profits, The Top Line Doesn't Pay You, is probably the best book we've written so far.
Nice.
So yeah, looking forward to it. But something I read recently, I would really encourage your listeners to read. It's called Leadership and Self-Deception. I'll tell you, don't let the title mess with you. The title probably could have been reworked, but they've sold millions of copies of this book. And it was a needle mover for me. And I really, really seriously encourage. Now, to put some perspective on this, I read over 40 books last year. I'm probably a voracious reader. And So to me, I think books should be read or consumed or even reconsumed based on the season of life you're in. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of in this, I'm dealing with kind of this idea of perspective and priority in my life and where to invest my time in return for a bigger yield. So stuff like that's a big deal to me. You know, if you're kind of in the early development of leadership stage, you might read different books. But that one will probably cross a few different paths. I read one that I liked. It was good. I can go through 20 books, but I really want to stand on the wall of that one. My dad died this year, and mm-hmm. so I read a book called Grief Recovery. And, man, anybody who's going through any kind of grief, whether it's a breakup in a marriage or a business partnership breakup or even as simple as a loss of a pet or a loved one or divorce, doesn't have to be a death of your parent. This Grief Recovery, it was a blessing that I read that book, and I would encourage it to everyone. Mm.
Awesome. So what are your predictions for digital marketing in the next year?
You know, I think that the funny thing is, I think this automation and this like secret to teach everyone automation is going to run its course very quickly. I think it's turning into a commoditized part of it. I think the technology's keeping up. And I think like people like Russell Brunson and what he's doing over at ClickFunnels, he continues to automate the technology part of it. Mm-hmm. I think this idea of the complexity of the internet is getting less and less. And so I tend to be one of those people that believe that you literally have to bring the part, the human part, the value component that's more like trusted advisor. So I think the digital component that is content laden in value, not in depth of production, is going to win. And what I mean by that is like just the basic information isn't going to cut it anymore. I think that if you aren't bringing your hands and feet to do the work for somebody, that the ones who just want to produce information, it's going to keep getting pushed down to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think everything is shifting back to the human interaction. The offline stuff is working a little bit more effective than it did even 3 years ago. I just think that, yeah, that I always teach people that we're all in the people business.
You know, I don't think people realize that 80% of the payroll that's introduced into the United States on a daily basis comes from a service company. And you know, I think we lost sight of this, and especially in our world where you and I live, we all think mm-hmm. that we think everything's digital and automation. And I think it's a nice enhancement to a business to have those things in place. It allows for better customer service. It allows for all kinds of good things. It allows for a certain way to acquire a lead. But most businesses cannot handle the scale of automation that comes along with digital marketing. And so I think we have some of that all wrong. And so I'm speaking to you, service companies out there listening, is I think we need to put in its proper context how digital marketing can enhance our service component just as much as we're worried about the lead gen that goes along with it.
Awesome. Well, I have one final question for you. And if you had one tip for people with their marketing, what would it be?
You know, I'll tell you, I'm big on this, and I want them to spend money in marketing because that's what your business and our businesses live on. But there are too many people toilet bowl marketing. What we used to do before all this technology, we couldn't afford to do it this way. So we would micro test. I don't know what happened to testing before scale.
I don't know.
Everyone goes out and copies the retarded brother, and it's the next level of a retarded brother, and then they expect it to perform like their copy, retarded copy they have. And I'm using that in a very engineering sense, right? You keep making things over and over, it's going to not look as good as the original. Well, too many people are spending way too much money too fast, blowing it before they even know if they have a winner. So I encourage everyone, micro test. A dollar can go a long way in telling you results that you need to know about whether or not you've got something that's going to work or not. And stop riding your loser so long. It's maybe has a third eye. Let it go. It doesn't need to continue to running. Sunk costs don't mean keep going. They mean you lost money. Move on.
There you go. So I appreciate it, Vinny. That's all the questions I have for you. But how can people connect with you?
Vinny Fisher is very accessible. We own a company called Fully Accountable at fullyaccountable.com. You can get me there. You can also find me, you know, we run a podcast and a show and all that fun stuff at the Total CEO. That's the name of our show. Check us out. You can also find me at vinnyfisher.com if none of those other ways seemed appealing to you, but very accessible.
Awesome. So we're going to have the Fully Accountable, the resources that Vinny shared with us, the book resources, and all the ways to get a hold of Vinny in the show notes. So if you guys could be so gracious as to like, share, subscribe over on iTunes if you like this episode and check out other
episodes. Can I put out one more shout out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
So for everyone listening, you know, he won't do it, so I'll do it for him. If you want an agency that will come in and look at what you're doing and give you a second set of eyes, I don't know what happened and why we don't do this anymore, but if you go to a doctor's office, why wouldn't you go get a second opinion on your health if you're going to do something major? Well, I don't know what happened, but Justin and his partner, they will come in and they will look at your stuff and you're doing, not because they want to do it, because they'll just they'll give you an honest assessment about whether or not you should be doing it. And through that process, you're going to find out you want to work with guys like this. So while he won't plug them, I will.
Well, I appreciate that, Vinny. That's greatly, greatly appreciated. And yes, we will do an whether you hire us or not. But yeah, I appreciate it, Vinny. This I'm looking forward to sharing this episode out. And be sure to check out Vinny Fisher and Fully Accountable and all the links in the show notes. And we'll talk to you guys again on another episode. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, bud.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to the CMO Roundtable. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate us, subscribe, and give us a share. For more information about how you can accelerate your marketing results and to request your in-depth conversion analysis, visit conversionfanatics.com.